Color Me Bad was all over the entertainment world back in the 90s, from songs on the charts like I Wanna Sex You Up, I Adore Mia Moore, All for Love, to being in movies, to appearing on 90210, and so much more. They've since broken up, but the good news is, joining us right now, making a connection, is the voice of Color Me Bad, Brian Abrams. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm fantastic, especially because I just heard your brand new track. It's a solo track, and it's a free download. Can you kind of say this is a taste of things to come?
Yes, sir. Most definitely of things to come. Yeah.
Tell us all about the track.
Well, it's a song called Do It Sexy. It's kind of the first release, so to speak. I did it with a producer by the name of Majesty. She also worked with Rihanna when she first started. She had a hit with Majesty and a producer by the name of Bill Blast. The song that I did up in Virginia Beach a while back, and I'm just really excited to put it out, man. I'm really excited to get the fans and the new listeners into what I'm doing now.
Now, where can we download that at?
BrianAbramsMusic.com.
Okay, love that. Love the song. And then, so can we find you elsewhere online too, like Twitter, Facebook, all that?
You can go to Facebook, Facebook.com/BrianAbramsMusic. Or Twitter.com/BrianAbrams. And those are all the little hubs that you can go to check out the music and see kind of what's going on.
All right. Well, let's come back and talk more about your solo career here a bit later. But we got to talk about some old school Color Me Bad as well. So you guys broke up in 98, then you got back together the last few years for a while. Was that kind of a complete surprise to you that you guys got back together? And then is there ever a chance of Color Me Bad getting back together again?
Yeah, you never know, man. You never know. It was a complete surprise. Mark and I decided to do some things together after I got a phone call to do a show in Hawaii several years back. And I asked Mark to come along and do it with me. And we had such a great time doing it. It kind of gave us the fever to do the Color Me Bad thing again. So we called Kevin, asked him if he was down to do some shows with us. It took a minute. He was like, let me get back to you. Let me think about that. It didn't take but a few minutes. But he got back to us, and he was down to do it. So it was kind of like a family reunion, really, man. I mean, we all grew up together and spent so much time together when we were young that it was like just, you know, once you ride a bike, you never forget how to ride.
Right.
So we jumped back in and started doing it. But at the same time, it was like a family reunion, a lot of good times, man.
So you were on the VH1 reality show Mission Man Band along with Chris of NSYNC, Jeff of 98 Degrees, and Rich of LFO. What was that experience like? And then, obviously, we lost Rich of LFO way too young. Kind of talk about what kind of guy he was.
Oh, man, Rich was an awesome dude, man. Really, really funny guy. He could have been a comedian outside of being an entertainer. Really nice guy. I think VH1 was planning on that being sort of a train wreck. I mean, a couple of the people that were involved in putting the show together even said they thought that it might be a train wreck and make for good TV. But it ended up being a really good little thing, man, because the one thing we had in common was music, and we all were into writing as well. And so we got together with Brian Michael Cox, and we put together some new songs, man, and they were really nice. It was a really fun time, actually.
Okay, now we got to go back to when you guys were first formed during your high school days in Oklahoma City. Now, a couple urban legends, I got to see if these are true or not. So the first is true that you first saw John Bon Jovi at a movie theater. Then you performed for him in the lobby and he allowed you to open up for a show. Is that true?
Man, Kevin and I worked in a movie theater called Cinema One at Penn Square Mall. And, you know, we had the little checkered shirts and bow ties, and it was, I mean, really corny stuff to wear. But we worked in this movie theater, and KT and I just saw a couple of the guys come in to get tickets. So we asked if we could get off work, and we snuck in, and we sat behind the seats and waited for the movie to end. And right after the movie was over, they sent me up to ask if we could sing them a couple of little a cappella songs. And so we went out there, and what was cool was by then the mall was kind of letting out. There wasn't hardly anybody left, so we had the acoustics of the mall. And they said, okay, go ahead. And so we sung a couple of songs for them, and they liked it so much they asked us if we wanted to open up, which was kind of an oddball thing to have. I think it was Skid Row opening up for them. So it was Skid Row, Bon Jovi, and then this little a cappella doo-wop group opening up at the beginning of the show with a couple of songs, which was really fun, great time. We got some radio press and stuff out of it afterwards, and we were kind of like the superstars of our high school for a week or two after that because we got to open up for those guys. And so, yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. And they're really nice, laid-back people, too.
So, okay, then Robert Bell of Kool & the Gang kind of discovered you guys as well in 1990. So how did that happen after that? Was that just totally unrelated?
Yeah, well, we were juniors in high school, and none of us had perfect attendance, but this was like some special thing for kids in different high schools around the area. If you had perfect attendance, you could go and meet them a few hours before the show and get autographs and pictures and, you know, stuff like that. So we left school and snuck in, and we met Kool while he was signing. And he was real busy, so we didn't even ask. We just started singing, snapping our fingers, started singing. And he stopped what he was doing, and he was like, man, that's really good. You know, we've been kind of looking for some new artists. He pointed his finger at Adele Bayand, who was his cousin, who ended up being our manager for several years to come after that. And Adele kind of pulled us aside, took our phone numbers, and said he would call us. And later on that afternoon, he called, asked us if we wanted to come to the show, which was at the 89er ballpark, and we sat through the show. We met with them, spent a couple hours with them, got something to eat, and it led into a thing where they started flying us back and forth to New York to record demos while we were still in school, and eventually had a meeting with our parents because they wanted to know what was going on, and just basically let them know, we're going to let these guys finish school, but then we want to bring them up to New York. And we ended up moving to New York right after we graduated high school. And struggled for a couple of years, but we eventually signed a record deal with Giant Warner Brothers with Irvin Azoff, and the rest is history.
How cool is that? So, okay, now
way cool, man.
Yeah, the name Color Me Bad, is it true that came from a horse in Oklahoma City, or where did that come from?
Yeah, it was a racehorse. We had a name. We were actually, first thing we had was the Levi's guys, which was corny, but we sang the little Shrink to Fit song. I don't know if you remember that. And we did that for a couple talent shows, and then we went to take one, as in, you know, first take type of thing. But then there was a take six that was already huge, and so they kept suggesting that we find a new name, and we kept coming up with these corny names, man. And Sam started looking through a newspaper and came across the racehorses, and Color Me Bad was one of the racehorses, and we were like, wow, that kind of fits what we stand for, so... That's what we went with.
Did you ever get to actually meet Color Me Bad, get a picture with them or anything?
No, that would have been way cool, though. That would have been awesome.
Huh, that's cool. So, okay, five huge hits from the first album then, CMB. Could you have ever imagined that kind of success, you know, when you first got that record deal, even at that point?
Never, man. I mean, we're from Oklahoma, and, you know, so there was no ways of really meeting anyone from the industry unless they came through. So we would go and we would meet with different... you know, groups or artists, sing them songs, hand them cassette tapes, because, you know, we come from the analog day. There was no CDs when we first started. Actually, they just had started, so we were still into cassettes and passing those out. And, when it happened, man, you know, it's a dream, especially for four guys that are into what we were into, but you never really, you think you're ready, but you're not. And, you know, what are the odds on the first song that you release becoming the number one hit on R&B and pop at the same time? And then, you know, after that, it was just several hits after that. And so never in a million years are you ready for it. I remember the first time we heard our song playing on the radio, and we went nuts, man. And even with it being played on the radio at that point, still, we weren't thinking, wow, a hit. We were just still in shock that we got a record deal and had an opportunity to put it out. And then it ends up being on a huge movie soundtrack, New Jack City, and here we're all from Oklahoma City. And so we're living on the East Coast with this huge hit, and just, oh, man, it was a dream come true.
So that song, I Want to Sex You Up, where did you kind of come up with that idea from? Do you remember the you know, right when it was born and stuff?
From the movie New Jack City, actually. There was a producer by the name of Dr. Freeze and Spider-Man in full effect. I don't know if you remember those guys. They did a lot of hits for Belle Biv DeVoe, like Poison, That Girl Is Poison, those type of songs. Well, anyway, he had done a track for the movie and a particular scene in the movie, which that was that striptease scene. So it was kind of a visual thing for him. And he came up with the track, and he sent it to us and Christopher Williams. Christopher Williams turned it down because he liked I'm Dreamin'. We had I'm Dreamin', and we wanted I Want to Sex You Up. So we ended up swapping on those songs, and we continued to write the verses and follow the vibe that Dr. Freeze had sent on the track. And that's kind of how that was born.
So talking about I Want to Sex You Up, I've read a quote before in the past from you guys that song was both a blessing and a curse. What do you kind of mean by that?
I'm not the one that said that. I would not, most definitely would not consider it a curse, but I think it was Sam that said that. And the reason being was because you get, after doing that song for so many years, over and over and over again every night, and you know that if you don't do that song, you probably get booed off the stage.
Right.
Because that's just one of those jams that people want to hear, especially when they come to see you. It's kind of like you want to move on and get past, move on to new music, and no matter how much new music or how many hits you're going to have after that fact, it was just one of those records that people are always going to want to hear. I would say it was either that or maybe it being a stamp song to where people would expect you to always want to do, like, the nasty stuff.
Right.
Like, typecast you as, like, one of the dirty group. And it was like, well, wait. Now, our thing was, and it just so happened to be our first single, was we wanted to write for a movie soundtrack, and it worked out. But it didn't work out in the way that we could do whatever we wanted. We had to write for a particular scene in the movie. So we were constantly letting people know that we were romantics and we loved singing the love songs and the other stuff as well as the dirty stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. Now, one of those other romantic songs, my favorite one by you guys, was I Adore Me Amore. Kind of tell us the story of that song.
That song, actually funny, we met Jammin' Lewis before we even had a record deal, and we ended up singing some a cappella for him and telling them, you know, what we were trying to do. And they were like, you guys got some great talent, and you got a great look, though. He was like, you know, you got a Spanish guy in the group. You got to get this multiracial thing going on. You should do a song in Spanish. And we thought, wow, that's a good idea. And so it sparked that idea to do one, but instead of doing an all-Spanish song, we decided to kind of do it bilingual and kind of mix it up a little bit. And so that's what we did, man. It's a demo that we did, 2 years, at least 2 years, before we even moved to New York. I mean, this is a song that I think we did right as we were finishing up high school. You know, we were still in school, and we demoed the song with a friend of ours that went to Millwood, Hobbs Ali, who still lives here and I do songs with. Actually, he's working on half the record with me. But we recorded that song. And when we made it up to New York, the management wanted to have us do all these new songs. And several of the songs that we wrote as kids ended up being on our first record of Me and Hits for us, which was awesome.
Huh. How about All for Love?
All for Love is a song that we did with Howie T. He's a great hip-hop producer. And we did that song. We always tried to explain to new people that we were working with that we wanted kind of what we called our sound was hip-hop doo-wop. And so that track had an awesome Motown kind of vibe to it. And that's another one we just had a great time with, and it really kind of stamped our sound and the term that we coined, which was hip-hop doo-wop. That was like a perfect example of that.
Now, during and after that first album, you guys were all over the place, award show after award show. But my favorite Color Me Bad memory was Beverly Hills 90210. What do you remember about that?
Man, it was an awesome time. And we were kind of in shock that we were doing it, because it was our first, like, acting debut, if you want to call that acting for us. But it was a lot of fun. I guess I would say the biggest memory of it, the funniest thing was that all of the girls that were in the show had their boyfriends standing around the set with their, you know, arms folded and watching every move we made. It was like, don't talk to my girlfriend, man. Don't be talking to my girl, man. And so that was kind of funny. I was like, do they come to every single taping of the show? No, they're just here because you guys are here.
Did you?
So that was a great memory for us.
Did you have a milkshake with Brandon and Dylan and Kelly and Sanders at the Peach Pit?
I wanted to have one with Kelly more than anything.
Yeah. Okay, so you worked a lot with Boyz II Men on your fourth album. Were you as excited this past summer about that big tour with New Kids, 98 Degrees, and Boyz II Men like we were?
Yeah, it was really exciting to see some of these old groups get back together. It really was. And we still kind of stay in touch from time to time with those guys, Wanye and Nate. And so, yeah, it was really cool. It's still really weird because I had done some shows like maybe, 2 years. Well, maybe I'd say 3 years, about 3 years before they even started talking about getting back together. I was doing shows with Jordan and Jeff Timmons, PM Dawn, and I had seen Boyz II Men out kind of while we were doing this thing, and I never really thought that they would end up on the same package, but it was kind of a shock. I was like, wow. It just even gave us the fever more to try to make something happen. I was like, here's all these groups from the age pretty much that we're from doing this thing. We got to get out and make it happen for us again. So, it was way cool to see that happen.
Now we got to talk about you again. Tell us about the new song again. What it's called, where we can get it, how we can stay in touch, and all that stuff.
The song is called Do It Sexy. It's the first release off of this album that I'm working on. Hopefully the top of the year next year is when the album's going to come out. I'm also going to release a Christmas single this holiday that I'm kind of working on, and my son is going to be on it with me, which is interesting.
Oh, cool.
So it'll be like a father and son thing. And my daughters, I got two little girls that aren't going to let us sing without wanting to get on there. So we call it an Abrams family Christmas sort of thing, which is going to be a freaking blast, man. But Do It Sexy you can get by going to brianabramsmusic.com. You can check us out on Twitter and also Facebook.
And so you said, so the future, if you could kind of pick it out, you're going to have just hopefully a nice long solo career, lots of albums, all that kind of stuff?
Well, we hope so. Before I get too old, let's try to make this thing happen for a little while. I feel like we've kind of gotten better with age. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I think people will be pleasantly surprised when they hear the music.
It's a good song, man. I like it. Well, keep us in touch with everything, Brian, and we'll catch back up again soon. Brian Abrams from Color Me Bad, thank you for hanging out with us on Round Trip, and take care. We'll talk soon, bro.
All right, have a good one.